Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, welcome everyone to Fightful AEW Revolution post show. I am Jeremy Lambert, joined by a distraught, absolutely distraught, Joseph Holbert. Joseph, what's wrong, buddy?
Dude, I'm devastated. I'm not even doing a bit. Like, I swear on my life, I will remember this probably forever. Like, I swear, this will stick with me. It's one thing when you see those botches, right? Those iconic flops and failures. There's not a story in professional wrestling I care about more than that one. And that was the big, heroic, poetic moment. And it went that way. Bro, that's going to hurt me for a long time. I'm being honest here. I'm being real here, right? I'm opening up. It's 5 a.m. I'm devastated right now. I am distraught, genuinely.
Also with us from bodyslam.net, our good friend Cassidy Haynes. Cass, what's going on, buddy?
I mean, I don't even know. I was all in. I was ready, and then the wind just got sucked out of my sails the last 30 seconds of that show. They're in, but what the fuck did just happen, guys? Like, what was that?
It's over. Cassie's over.
We're gonna start there, and we're gonna start with this super chat from Valda Mommy the Pooty. I apologize for botching that. I know I did. I botched that about as well as the final explosion there. For as fun as this pay-per-view has been, everyone is just going to remember it for the wet fart at the end.
What was that? So, Jeremy, you're from North Carolina. How did they just buy 4 fireworks from North Carolina gas station and just put them on the ring post and just that was it?
Dude, it was like sparklers going off.
Did Eddie Kingston die from sparks? Did that just happen? Did he have a spark death?
That's what it felt like.
Here's the thing, okay? I'm going to be positive. Do the super chat, Jeremy. Okay.
Gorilla Press just says, good evening, gentlemen. Good evening,
Gorilla Press.
Hey.
Here's the thing. I know this is a poorly structured show already. I apologize. They can save it by saying that King was prepared to risk everything there, and they got lucky, right? They can do that. Unfortunately, we got to wait 3 days for them to save it that way, because for the next 3 days, I'm going to have to remember that image, which was one of the most just, oh man, what do we do here? Do we end the show with this? Do we just stop? What do we do?
They can save it with that, right? But like, Eddie Kingston shouldn't have been selling that at all.
I don't think you could see
God,
how bad it was.
Like, God bless maybe. Eddie Kingston for trying. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he was committed to selling that death by sparklers, and I don't think anybody could have done it better, probably, to die by sparks, but he's.
What I wonder if he heard it but didn't, like, because his head was down, did he know how bad it looked, do we think?
Yeah, I don't know. Carlos EZ says, TK went for snakes and sparklers. Yeah. It's a reference Sean Ross Sapp would pop for. Marco Dominguez says, do you think AEW finds a storyline reason to explain why the explosions shorted out, I guess? I mean, Joseph just gave a good reason of, like, he tried to save him, he didn't know what the explosion was, but, like, it would have felt like you can't react to that explosion, right? No. Like, It's tough. It's
what
tough.
Explosion? There wasn't an explosion.
Yeah, that's the way you have to accept. You have to just be upfront and say, you basically have to frame it as if the explosion had gone off as they expected, they would be dead. Yeah. And just say they got lucky.
I saw the same explosion at 4th of July in my cousin's backyard. It was pretty sweet. Nobody died like Eddie Kingston, but it was still as fun. It was cool.
Gorilla Press says he's backstage. The ropes were supposed to explode. Pyro failure. I mean, maybe that's true. I know they're going to do the media call here shortly. I'm sure Tony Khan will be asked about that. I'm sure we'll get some answers on that. Yeah. Benny Boy says, surely that was botched pyro at the end. And what else did we got? He didn't know his head was down. I assume he meant Eddie Kingston. I totally believe that. Yeah. And Drew Nicholas says he fainted from the fear of what was about to happen. Sure.
That's good.
Sounds like a good way to get out of it. Guys, so get your super chats in. We appreciate already that have rolled in as of right now. I know we have more. We'll get to them. I try to get to them in order of when we do stuff. I know we're out of order with the explosions and whatnot, because that's where we're at. John Loper says, I've had 4th of July is more intense than that.
See, were you at my cousin's party last summer? He might have been there, man. We might have been there. I don't even know. Next time, say hey.
Gorilla Press says, ringside, the explosions on the floor were far louder. I'm sure they were loud.
Why didn't those go off? Weren't those supposed to go off too? Again, weren't all of them supposed to go off? Not just the ones on the ropes at the
end? I thought they had the ringside ones went off. They had little sparklers from the corner post, and then they had the ones that were on the ring floor that went off. But like those looked so weak. Like they were so weak.
I mean, they tried.
They definitely did try. Some stupid punk says this is legit. The first time I'm disappointed with AEW. No annoyed. The Double or Nothing rebook to Jacksonville and then that ending. I mean, the Double or Nothing thing, like, still be in a pandemic in May. Like, it's probably not smart to try to open up with fans and stuff. So I'm not mad at that. The ending, though, whole different story. Pretty excited to see Sonic the Hedgehog is all elite to lend Tony Khan one of his rings for the ladder match. I clicked that out of order. I apologize, but there you go. I'm sure I'll get back to that. Let's talk about this main event, guys. I mean, we're going to focus on the explosion here. Before the explosion, I thought Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega had a hell of a barbed wire exploding death match. They had some nice teases. It's some very nice moments during it. The finish saw Good Brothers come down. Joseph's partners in Bullet Club, the machine gun Carl Anderson, and the LG, Doc Gallows, came down. Omega hit Moxley with an exploding barbed wire bat, hit a one-winged angel through the table. Cass, what did you think of this match?
I loved it up until like the end, but we already talked about that. But the match was great. I thought like it delivered. There was good spots. They worked, you know, all the little gimmicks into it. They had run-ins like we thought were going to happen. I mean, the match delivered. I mean, the ending didn't, but the match delivered. I'm all about it. I liked it.
Joseph?
Yeah, look, man, I was here. I loved the match. I think Mox is the guy in the biz. I think, you know, if you look at maybe Roman alongside of him, they're to me the top two guys in the US scene. And I think this was maybe he's like magnum opus as what he is as an identity. You know, the shot of him laying in the barbed wire like an actual bed, just chilling for a minute. It's iconic Mox stuff. The blood was incredible. It was wonderful. It was way better than I thought we'd be. They maximized the stip. It was great. Glorious. Will I ever remember that? Absolutely not. Never. Sorry, but that's the deal, you know. So, it was a great match. Great match.
I thought it was a great match, but yeah, that ending, that's what people are going to remember. Like, they built it up so long because they had the countdown. Even before that, Omega and Good Brothers are just laying into Moxley. Callis is out there. Then they finally start the countdown. Kingston comes out. I don't know why Eddie just isn't rolling Moxley out of the ring. He's out there with like a minute left.
Drag him out. You could pick him up over your shoulder and hop over the ropes, but
could have easily done that. But they went for the sacrifice story, and it would have looked cool, except that it didn't. Joseph, this
perfect.
Is
perfect. It would have been
this is your story.
Perfect.
This is your story, Joseph.
On paper, that shit was money, bro.
Yes,
it really was. That was so perfect. I think. Look, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. If you came here for a Revolution review, like, it's finished, okay? I'm here for therapy. You guys are going to help me out, okay?
that shit went off the rails, and I don't know how to get back to it, but...
Can we do a deal where King is kind of like... he won't fully admit what he was actually willing to do for Mox there. You know, the kind of tough exterior of Eddie is like, nah, man, like, I knew, you know, it was all good. I knew nothing was going to happen. And then you just never play again that he sold for 3 minutes at the end of the show. Do we do that? Is that what we do here to get out of this? What do we do? Because the sacrifice is still there. He just did not die. But the match was great.
Some stupid punk says that ending needed Blue Chew. Too bad that Eddie didn't see the explosion, that commentary didn't shift gears. Now Eddie looks weak. It's tough. It's tough. I don't know what they could have done. I think I saw one from Gorilla Press who just said, we tried. Maybe that's a quote from Tony Khan or somebody backstage, or I don't know. But yeah, I mean, they certainly tried. It didn't Bio Monkey says they'll kayfabe this, but it sucks that people are going to focus on the botch rather than Kenny and Mox put everything into this. They did. Like, Mox and Omega worked their asses off in this match. And bless Kenny Omega, who probably doesn't need to be doing this stuff as the best bout machine. He can just go out, have his 40-minute matches with his cool 5-minute ending sequences and everything, and people call him the best wrestler in the world. Instead, he goes out and tries to do something like this, pulls it off expertly, along with John Moxley, who Joseph and I agree are, like, that's the guy in wrestling. And people are going to focus on that ending, though, and it sucks, and that's just...
I'm not here to pretend otherwise. I'm doing it. I mean, the match was fabulous. Like, I will say this much. Historically, that match is a tremendous addition to both of their, like, match catalogs, resumes, you know? Like, I think that's one to point to. If you're an Omega guy, to be like, look at the versatility of this guy. I mean, that's a very real thing. And in history, when people rewatch it, they almost certainly realize what we do realize, which is that it's a great match. I do not want to dismiss their efforts based on something that wasn't their fault. However, it would be foolish of us to just pretend that didn't happen at the end of the show. You know what I mean? It's just, it's the reality of the situation. But you're absolutely right. We shouldn't dismiss the work they did. We just shouldn't.
Yeah. Ryan Lambert, my brother, I believe. TK spent most of the pyro budget on Cody Rhodes' entrance, so they made do with the Gilbert entrance pyro. Man, when those sparklers were going off, I was like, all right, they got to have something better than this, right? This is kind of weak. And then the one explosion, I was like, okay. And that was it.
Man,
they couldn't collapse the ring or something. Like, I don't know. It wasn't. Somebody sent me a message and said that Mox already buried the explosion after the show. He said Kenny might be a tough SOB, but he can't build an exploding ring for shit.
Blame Kenny for not having to be a carpenter or something.
That's
the deal. You do. You have Mox be like, we got lucky. But I saw what you did, Eddie, and he's like, I didn't do shit. I know full well, nothing's gonna happen. You know, it's just that's what you do, right? You can do it.
Better safe than sorry, right?
We'll be okay, guys. We'll get through this, I promise.
Yeah. Just have Mox build it right. Like, I'll do it better. I'll build it correctly next time, and we'll
see. I'll do the rematch.
Yeah, the rematch, Mox can build it instead and show you how to really do it.
Yeah.
Just blows up the arena.
Yeah, just everybody fucking dies instead. Yeah.
45 Lance Archer names. Stands at the end of the end. 45 names. Deegan says bell to bell, fantastic match, full of tension. That one winged angel kick out was bonkers. That was awesome when Moxley got his foot on the ropes and the explosion off of that. That ending, talk about a wet fart. Yeah. That's what it is.
That's a good description, wet fart.
But Ryan says sparks are Eddie's only weakness. Why do you think he has no pyro in his entrance?
Fuck, nailed it. Shit.
Great pay per view. Otherwise, surprised I was so energized through the show. Love you all. Thanks, Bud Ryan. Hope you're doing well, buddy. Anything else on the... Yeah, here you go. J.K. Shaw sent the same thing that I was texted. Mox said, Kenny's a tough SOB. Can't build an exploding ring worth shit. I mean, that's your way out of it, I guess, is Moxley just burying Omega for doing it. I don't know. WWE Mark said the same thing. Mox cut a promo saying it sucked. It's tough. It is very tough.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Anyway...
Somebody said Brandy Ember says give me Lance versus Mox for the next death match. There you go, we can do that. We'll move on. We'll start at the beginning. We will go to the buy-in show. Britt Baker and Maki Ito, after Rebel, not Reba, said that she was, you know, she had a doctor's note, she shouldn't compete. So we had Maki Ito as the replacement against Thunder Rosa and Riho. Maki Ito and Britt Baker get the victory. Cass, what do you think of this match?
I loved it, man. I loved it. I'm a huge Maki Ito fan. I asked about her on the media call on Wednesday. So
you forced me to write an article that I didn't want to write because it was from you, And Sean did the interview with Maki Ito. So Sean was like, give Cass some love, give my interview some love, write this.
Yeah, man. It's teamwork. We're all team players around here, man. But no, I loved it, man. I thought it was a great match for the buy-in, dude. It sold the hell out of that paper. It should have sold some, pay-per-view buys for that. I thought it was great.
Joseph?
I would agree. I mean, I think this is a good example of AEW doing something correct, right? Where they kind of reward the audience's response to something. It seems like a small gesture in the grand scheme of things, but it's one of those things that builds that goodwill, right? Which makes my reaction to the ending more, than LOL, that was funny. You know, that's the deal. Like, they kind of get you on side with stuff like this. The match kind of steadily progressed from, this is kind of fun, to like being, this is actually very good, right? It kind of went that way.
I love the team of Maki Ito and Britt Baker, too. Like, yes. They were amazing together. I love that they came back out later too. So it's like, is that a stable now? Because that'd be I love that group, that pairing of all four of them together. That's great.
I agree. But,
They're gonna team on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Ito, Baker, and Rebel. Yeah, against who was it? Thunder Rosa, Hikaru Shida, and Ryu Mizunami. So that's gonna be a 6-woman tag team match on Wednesday. I'm all for this stable. They really don't have women's stables. They love their stables, as we know. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think that's a good pairing.
Go ahead, Cass.
No, I was just gonna say, I think that's just a great pairing. I didn't know I wanted that until I saw it accidentally happen tonight, and I was like, that's fucking money, take it. I love it.
We think the deal with Thunder Rosa and Britt is very much just a case of like, she is still NWA talent, or do we expect Thunder Rosa to get a win back eventually in some kind of blow off for those two? Because it surprised me that finish tonight. I know it was, Reba and distraction, I understand, but I didn't expect Thunder Rosa to get pinned in that match, I must say.
I don't know. I don't think she's – maybe she gets her win back at some point. I think once her NWA contract's up, I think she's coming to AEW regardless. Yes. I don't know if she's going to get her win back at some point. I imagine they'll run back that singles match, though.
I hope so. I think it could be a dynamite main event if positioned correctly, which would be a big win for the division, right? So,
yeah.
Hopefully so. Oh, that'd be cool.
I love the finish to that match too. That looked good. Like Reba hitting the crutch. Like she hit that hard as shit too. And Thunder Rosa took it solid. That looked really good. So
the execution on those isn't always perfect. And that one was great, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Very, exactly. Very good. Exactly. I was like, that was tight. That looked good. Like it was that was solid.
Dog King says, as an AEW guy, I've never been so disappointed. Stuff. Some stupid funk says, hearing JR say good lord after that explosion. I'm shocked JR had a voice after everything, honestly. Like, bless him that he could still talk. Take Bear Claw, grins and filth aplenty. Yes.
No grins.
Our buddy JJ says hello to my favorite big stars. Hope you enjoyed this long pay-per-view. Banning Joel was more fun than that ending. Yes, I did ban Joel Pearl as I do. Hello, JJ. I hope you're doing well, buddy. I'm trying to catch up here. There we go. Brian Dammer says, I'm fairly certain that the minute Rosa signs with AEW, she gets the belt. I don't know if they're going to give her the belt immediately. I do think she's AEW bound when her NWA contract is up, though.
I would agree.
Benny Boy says, any update on Chris Statlander? She's been on PT recently. Surely facing she'd assume.
Go ahead, Cass. She's been hurt, right?
Yeah, she had torn ACL, I think May or June. She's been training. The last interview I transcribed is from January, I think, and she said she's doing well. She's ahead of schedule, but they're not going to push it or anything. But I know she's been training and rehabbing. I don't know when she's actually going to return, though. So that's really all I know on Chris Statlander. Opening tag team match, AEW World Tag Team Titles, the Young Bucks against Chris Jericho and MJF. Young Bucks retain. Jericho eats the pinfall here. Cass, what'd you think?
It was a good hot opener, and I mean, Jericho eating the pinfall was who should have taken the pinfall in that match. It didn't hurt him to eat the pin, and MJF, of course, you don't need to have him take the loss there, but I think it sets up what they're doing next, which I think is inevitably kicking Jericho out of the group, right? On Wednesday. So having him take the loss is now they're going to have their little town meeting or whatever to make some changes, and of course, he's going to be out now, probably. That's my theory there. So, I mean, the match did what it needed to do, progress that storyline, and it was a good opener, and sets up who the Bucks face next, and it served its purpose.
It's interesting. I kind of feared when I looked at the card, I think there was some stuff that we all collectively kind of went, I'm not sure, which we'll get to, I think, soon. This was one where I was concerned they were going to try too hard to have like an epic, you know, and I think perhaps in the last few minutes you gain that territory. I will remind everyone, I've reviewed an AEW pay-per-view before, and as I said then, I'll reiterate, I believe MJF listens to these shows for that reason. I have no criticism of this match moving forward. Thank you. But it was good placement in that regard. It allowed them to have a long match without it being like, oh my God, this is up next. You know, they had the freshness. That helped them. It was a mostly traditional tag match, but they at least attached on the front of it the big brawl, right? They at least to match the feud's vibe of being this kind of heated deal. It was not particularly organic, the heat in this feud, right? It was very much just kind of like, we need to do something. Papa Buck is dead. You know, that was the deal they did for you. So that's fine. They fooled me many times on the finish. I thought it was over quite a few times. I thought there was a real chance of title change. And they used that, you know, brilliantly down the stretch. If I'm going to be picky, this is a problem that happened a lot through the night, and this was the first real case of it, where you pop more for these false finishes, and by the time the actual finish comes, it's like, oh, it's done. You know, like, it's got to be done now. Yeah, it is. That happened a lot on this show. And I think it's a case of... Go ahead, Cass.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the Southern finish thing. So I was like, yeah, there's going to be at least one of those, you know, a show. And I thought that was obviously this match, the first one. Yeah. And I think it worked well because you got the crowd, like you said, the crowd was popping. It was getting them into it. So
it was better here than I think the women's title match was a case of like, by the time it ended, people were just ready for it to end, which is a shame, you know. But here it was just a small case of it. But it was a very good match. From what I can gather, it's very divisive, which doesn't surprise me considering the guys involved. I thought it was a very good tag match, better than I expected. So there you go.
Yeah. Brian Heath sent in a super chat that said about the opening tag match. Let's talk about something more positive. Opening tag match, way better. So there you go. I enjoyed the match. Maybe a little long. This is a criticism I have a lot of these AEW matches, is a little too long for my liking. The heat was – I wasn't into this match. From an angle perspective, didn't do a whole lot for me. We will see where it goes with the inner circle. Now it seems like it's setting up for Jericho to be kicked out. I don't know how Sammy Guevara quite plays into that. Is he just a lone man then? Because why would he?
I think he comes in as the leader. I think they bring him in or something. Really? It's like a whole. It's been a big thing all along that Sammy and MJF were kind of in cahoots.
Interesting.
That would surprise me. That's very interesting. Yeah. I like it.
That's
my left field wild card prediction there. That I'm never right with my predictions, so don't get your hopes up. You can look back at my podcast for that. Like, ask Shazza, she beats me like by 16 matches. Horrible, but that's where I'm going with it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is not where I would suspect this would go at all, but we will see if that's the direction they decide to take. Casino Tag Team Royale, Phoenix and Pac win this match. I thought this was another one. We didn't need 90-second intervals, just a little too long for my liking. I don't know what they're doing with guys like Proud and Powerful either, like Joseph and I. We're just confused on what they're doing with those guys. Pac and Phoenix, right call. I think that seemed like the big favorites in this match, so I have no issue with that at all. I mentioned it on Thursday's Distraction. Like, why wouldn't they just want to do like a Pac Phoenix Young Bucks television main event, give them like 30 minutes, go out there and try to have the greatest tag team match ever. So they'll probably end up doing. Probably be great. Cash, your thoughts?
Dude, you know Phoenix and Pac are my boys. So I'm all in. I would love that. Like, I was excited for that. So... yeah, those are my homies, man. I'm excited about this. I've wanted that match too. So, like you were saying, so I think that's the best thing to go with that. And how long are they going to do this Jungle Boy being the last guy left in a battle royale? Like, that's his gimmick now, right? To almost win a battle royal. So,
yeah,
he's what, three or four of those now, right? Where he's the last guy left, and then, you know, so I like that too. They carried that on as well. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, and I mean, not just that, he's. Of those times, he was the last man left. This has to have been the most exciting version of that, right? The portion with him and Phoenix was... Dude, Phoenix, like, obviously there's stuff he does that's just... There's no other way of putting it in spectacular. Like, it's easily explained, just watch it, right? But even, like, little things he does, the way he'll take, like, a super kick, the way he'll bump for the cinema, he's just not human, man.
Dude, he's on another level, man. It's crazy to watch him go. It's like, this guy is just better than everybody. It's like...
I think the opening result of the Bucks made this even more like, yeah, that's the way to go, right? The Bucks versus Death Trap. I mean, this is just, it's a perfect like TV main event you give 20 minutes to, and it's disposable in the sense you don't have to go back to it even. It's just like an awesome match you put on TV. So I didn't love the match. I don't think you were supposed to. I thought it was fine. I think it had moments of clunkiness because there's so many guys and some of them aren't, you know, they are. But I thought it was generally pretty well produced, to be honest, for an AEW Battle Royal perspective. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I agree too. I thought everybody got a chance to shine. Like, everybody looked good. And there wasn't as much of that whole, like, everybody seemed out of place and lost. Like you see sometimes where it's like, where's the other 19 guys? Like, they're all, where'd everybody go? They're just like hanging out, laying down, acting like they're hurt. No, everybody was doing something the whole time. Mm-hmm. And everything seemed to be more, like you said, well, better produced and flow better. And I liked the match. I really did. And I thought, I thought 10 and 5 looked really good. I thought Dark Order's 10 and 5, they shined early. And I like seeing that. I think Angels is, he's a star, man. I think he's going to be great. And he's one of those guys that I think, like, if he'd had more time on the indies before getting signed up by the pandemic, would have had like a huge explosion, being able to on the indies, like hitting all these big promotions up and stuff. But I like to see where we're going with him. So I enjoyed the match, man. Everybody looked good. Like, you were like, I mean, it was a little long, like you said, because you had, it could have been like 60-second intervals instead of 90 or whatever, and it would have probably gone
faster. Maybe shave some of the teams instead, right? Yeah. Maybe you could have done that. Yeah. But yeah. I thought it was good.
Benny Boy says Pac and Phoenix are awesome, but instead of Lucha Bros was weird. QT turning on Dustin was hilarious. I mean, Penta was in the ladder match. QT turning on Dustin was Joseph. You want more Dustin? Here we go.
I liked it. I really did like it. By the way, a testament to how well produced this match was for the most part is that Dustin never had any clue what he was supposed to be doing, because Dustin. Dustin's like, this is a battle royal. Well, I'm going to punch you. You're going to punch me back. We're going to stand on the ropes. He was watching guys do like sequences in the middle of this, being like, what am I even doing here? It's just for an uppercut and get out of it. It was tremendous. But I love Dustin. I think him and QT are going to have some cool matches. Maybe one cool match on a Dynamite, whatever. But
It'll be on Dark, but it'll be really cool.
It will be good, right? It'll be good. And I have no problem with it. It was good.
Brian Dammer, surprised at the lack of outrage at no Luther or Shapinsko. They didn't want to tip their hat on who was going to win this match. So that's why they weren't in there.
I have the utmost love for those two gentlemen. They have been very, very nice to me. But after how that show ended, I'm in a different strat. This different thing for me. Things I can be angry at, God bless those guys. They had fun in the front row. This is very different.
Oh, they did. He always has fun in the front row.
Yes. There you go.
My boy Skyler was hanging. John Skyler was sitting next to Luther, too. I saw that. So
yes, he was there. I saw that, too.
Yeah, they had a blast, it looked like.
We are getting Matt Jackson against Phoenix on Dynamite. That should be excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent match. AEW Women's Championship match. Kairi Sheeta, Ryu Mizunami. Sheeta picks up the victory, retains the women's title. I loved the final stretch of this match with the different counters and kickouts and everything. Just tremendous, tremendous stuff from them. Another one where maybe shave a minute or two off of it, I would have enjoyed it a little bit more. But overall, like, this was an outstanding women's match. And again, the counters were tremendous down the stretch. Cass, what'd you think?
It's probably one of the better women's matches I've seen, especially for the title. Like, it was great. And I really like the tease of Sheeta doing some heel stuff. Like, is she, you know, they kind of teased that a little bit there, because, you know, poking in the eyes and doing some dirty tactics to try to pull out the win. I don't know, maybe they were setting up a turn later too. I like that kind of stuff with those matches too, though, how they work, like storytelling that's kind of long term and slow in on the match that you kind of have to pick up on. But I thought it was great, man. It told a good story between the two. I liked everything about it. I want to see more of Rio, is that her name? I can't remember her last name.
Rio Mizunami.
Yeah. I want to see more of her. I hope she sticks around, because I was at Double or Nothing in Vegas and got to watch, I guess, that six-man that she was in, or six-woman match. So, yeah, I like her a lot, man. I like the match. What about you guys? What'd you think?
It was good, man. It was very good. I thought, you know, this was a good example of, like, one false finish too many, where by the time it ends, it's like, okay, now it's over, rather than the kind of 1-2, bat you, that's it. But they really did kick into gear. I mean, Rio definitely is a case of someone who's like, she brings enough physicality that it's always kind of, it's easy, it's very watchable. She's very, very watchable wherever she does it. But when she really gets going and she kicks in overdrive in those last few moments of the match, she was tremendous here. And so was Sheeta. I thought this on paper like a good match stylistically. And I think it was exactly that. I think they gelled well. I like the way they kind of just steadily progressed. The antics kind of died down as things went on. It got more and more physical. I think they're placed to succeed for the most part, right? After a battle royal, which is generally a palate cleanser, you have this as like they have a clean slate to work with. Effectively, the first singles match of the night. And I've already delivered. You know, I don't think it had, and this is not a knock on the two women, but in an ideal world, the tournament winner versus the champ would have more of a like grand feel to it, you know? Unfortunately, that's out of their hands. It just didn't feel that way to me. The final didn't either. It's good professional wrestling that is yet to feel blockbuster and, my God, this is the biggest match of the night, which is something I've got to work on. Clearly, we all know that. We don't have to dwell on it here, but I really like the match. I agree with Kazumi. It's one of their best women's title matches yet, so I liked it a lot.
I liked afterwards the, you know, Britt and Maki Ito coming out and attacking Shida. Again, that's going to set up the six-woman match for Wednesday. So I like that they did set something up for Dynamite. And we discussed it earlier, but Britt, Maki Ito, and Rebel as kind of a little trio, it's good stuff. Britt and Maki Ito will play off each other very well. Them flipping off the camera was pretty tremendous.
Great. Oh, business. that was awesome.
Benny Boy says, "And is Angelico okay? Been missing this week." I don't know. Cass, do you know?
I haven't heard anything. I was talking to Jack in the week, and he didn't say anything about it. But I noticed he wasn't at Dynamite, and I don't think last week. So maybe it's just a travel thing where they just didn't. Because I mean, FTR wasn't there either this week. They were at the house, so I mean, they just didn't need him probably. So no, you'd fly him in, you know. Over. I just think they just didn't need him. I think he's fine.
King Juni says, Renee snuck ringside to disable the explosion. Look, that's a good answer. That's sure. They can do it with that. Joseph, not a fan of that answer.
It's a good suggestion. I can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe we have to come up with suggestions. This is terrible. What a shame.
That's irresponsible because she's pregnant and she shouldn't put herself in harm's way.
Guys, we're going to throw to an ad read from Sean Ross Sapp, making a special appearance right now. A cut-in ad read from Sean Ross Sapp. Here we go.
You want to know what I hate? Price discrimination. When you're getting a hotel, a car rental, a flight, and they see where you are and they hike the price up on you. You know what I love? Surfshark, because it keeps that from happening. Surfshark VPN. If you're a world traveler, this is a must. If you're sitting at home, it's a must. Watch things that are blocked in other regions. Be safe on public Wi-Fi. And right now, surfshark.deals/fightful, and you enter the promo code FIGHTFUL to get 83% off and 3 extra months for free. One subscription allows you to install and run Surfshark on an unlimited number of devices at the same time. PC, Mac, Linux, Android, iOS, smart TVs, Amazon Fire TVs, Chrome, Firefox, Xbox, PlayStation, Apple TV. 24/7 live customer support ensures that your issues will be solved in a prompt, timely manner, and a 30-day money-back guarantee gives you plenty of time to check out Surfshark risk-free. Really, can you afford to not do this? Surfshark.deals/Fightful. Code Fightful. Get 83% off and 3 extra months free.
There you go. Thank you, Cinematic Run-In. Sean Ross Sapp. Oh my God, Cass has a Sting figure. If I would have known you were going to have yours, I would have brought mine out. Mine's in the other room.
I got this one.
That's my Sting. That's my Sting right there.
Yeah, Surfer Sting's my guy as well.
We got that one.
Oh my God.
Many Stings.
I got another one too. I got another variant.
Oh, Stings are falling down.
Yes. Brian Pillman just tackled him. Yeah. Anyway,
Flame Inc. No, your super chat was not missed. I'm trying to get it in order of how we go with the show. I will say, Anakin Music of Moonsaults, the Christian super chat, please send those to me. And L Milkman and Cyclops Better Than Wolverine about the ladder match. Send those super chats. I did not collect them as I should have. So I apologize for that. Mm-hmm.
Dude, my hair's looking very Sopranos right now. You see this? You see this? Look at these, dude.
Look at
about it.
That's strong.
Dude, strong. I got the poly walnut streaks, the gray streaks going. This shit's looking fucking tight right now. I'm liking it. You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome.
Miro and Kip Sabian defeat Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. This match probably should have been on Dynamite. Miro looked really strong. I know,
or the buy-in, maybe. But
yeah.
Miro looked good, right? Shit.
I mean, that was their goal. That was their goal, to put Miro over. They accomplished that. Chuck Taylor, he bled. God bless him for that.
I don't think it was intentional, but he bled.
It helped. It helped, though. Yeah. Crowd still loves Orange Cassidy. Joseph, what'd you think?
Do we think this was originally supposed to be like the Shaq match was supposed to be on Revolution? Do we think they were supposed to switch? This would be the go home with the FTR deal. It feels like that's likely after watching it, right?
Or probably, yeah. Or maybe it was a buy-in match to begin with, but then when they move Shaq, they're like, we'll bump it up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of befuddled as to like the way they started it. My thought was like, okay, they realized this is kind of a flat match for pay-per-view, so they're going to do something different or wacky. But in the end, they just can't do a match. I didn't really see the point of starting the way. I mean, it's just, I guess to protect Orange, like, it was just a match to me. It was very, I've got to be honest, like, I don't really get the, like, I understand it. I do get the logic behind it. But the whole thing of, like, Miro's got to be a killer. He's got to be a killer. It's like, it's not that he has to be some kind of mute, one-dimensional murdering man. Like, that's fun, but it's not, he's better than that in some ways. He's a very, very talented guy. It's more that this particular presentation is so prelim. Not what he's doing in the ring. He's killing guys in the ring. But, man, it doesn't feel like it's in the same planet as, like, the top tier of the promotion. You know, it just feels like sideshow stuff. So that's the disappointment for me. This little string here of this match and then the next match was, like, I've been a little bold, I thought. To be honest, I did think I'd been a bit bold. It was just a match for me, unfortunately.
Well, what's the end game here? I think it's a Miro and Kip Sabian blow off eventually. So, I mean, I think that was more the point of this was to, you know, there was a little tension there, but, you know, at the end, what's Kip? Kip got a win. So, you know, even though it was at Penelope's expense. So I think that's more or less what we're getting to. But yeah, like it was just some filler. It kind of seemed like a filler match to me, but
yeah,
it was good. I think that if they hadn't started it the way they did, that you would have hated it even more. You would have hated the
match. I agree. Yeah.
You know, so having it start that way was probably the best thing for that match because, you know, you didn't really know where it was going. And then when it ended up being a regular match, like, all right, well, shit. Okay, here we go. So, yeah, no, sure. I thought that was probably the best thing for that match to do it the way they did it. Have it start in the back, work its way to the front. Orange Cassidy comes back in the end, you know, it made me care a little bit more about it than I think it would if they just come out there with their entrances and been standing opposite each other and then just, here we go, regular match. So,
but what do we think? I mean, we agree that they're headed to, we both think they're going to Miro slaughtering Kip effectively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like, what, in truth, and, you know, God bless the Kip Sabian, I'm not here to dismiss the man, but what does that actually mean for Miro? Like, do we have to really work to this? Can we not just do it and get over it? I'm not sure what we're actually achieving here, I guess is my point.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that. I don't have anything for it.
I mean,
he's strong. He's going to be strong. That's the thing. The point. I don't know.
I mean, that was the story is that, you know, Miro is kind of out for himself, doesn't even care about his best friend, willing to use Penelope to get the victory and everything. I guess the turn comes, but like, is Kip a baby face? I don't know if they have a lot of plans for Kip.
Yeah, Kip's going to be the baby face, I think. And
yeah, I think Miro kills him. And
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two minutes, and then that's the end of that.
He changed his gear tonight, too, so maybe that's the start of his baby
face. Yeah, Zang's gear tonight.
Kip's many things, but that, him and Penelope as an act is not a babyface act, man. That's going to be a challenge. So,
yeah.
But I agree, he's the babyface of the story they're telling so far. So, like, we'll see. Hopefully they have a plan. Hopefully.
I don't know. We'll see.
We will see if they have a plan for Miro moving forward. Big money match. Big money Matt against Hangman Page.
Richard made another appearance. This fucking asshole. Literally, this asshole.
big money match. Hangman Page gets the victory. This match went approximately 35 minutes, I believe. I think it was the longest match on the card.
Did it really?
No.
Shit. I was like, oh my God, that time travel? Did I pass out during that match? I was like, oh shit, what happened?
People were mad at me on Twitter. I was like, this match has gone roughly 30 minutes. There's three matches remaining. A WWE pay-per-view would be over by now. They're like, it hasn't been 30 minutes. What are you talking about? Like, I get it. It feels very, very long. Okay. Finishing sequence was great. Hangman kicking out of the side effect. Twist of Fate combo was nice. They put him over big. I like Dark Order saving Hangman, hits the buckshot lariat, hits the victory. Finishing sequence, cool, loved it. Did not need this match to go as long as it did, though. Just didn't need it. This is another one, probably could have been on the buy-in. And guys, we know that Shaq couldn't do the match on this pay-per-view because he was doing All-Star Game. We get that. We're saying, you know,
I scooped that, Jeremy.
Was he at the All-Star Game? Did we ever figure out where he went after the ambulance? We ever figure that out? Is he? He's okay though.
You he was sure? Back on NBA on TNT the night after.
Yeah. What about Kenny Smith trying to break kayfabe? Were you really knocked out, Shaq? Like, come on, man. Come on, dude. Shaq just sitting there and just not answering it. Like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, stop. I love that.
Steph Curry went ham in the All-Star Game. That guy's so fun to watch. He's good. Excellent shooter of the basketball. Hangman Page, Matt Hardy.
Anyway, it was a match.
I mean, it was what we expected, right? And here's the thing with Matt: is like people overstate what he is in like the negative sense, you know, where it's like, oh my god, Matt Hardy. It's like, dude, he's fine. Matt's a very smart professional wrestler. This was a smart professional wrestling match. It was sound. It was logical. Unfortunately, I really did not need to see it. That's the truth of it. And it, you know, it's not on them. It's just, it's where on this roster, and I think this is in fear of getting ahead of myself here, guys. This was not by any means anything less than a good show, a fun show. This roster is better than the card they put on paper here. It is. This is a better roster than a Matt Hardy singles match and that Kip Sabian tag we just talked about. It's better than that. It just is. They've got to do a better job of producing pay-per-view cards that show how strong their roster is, because it is strong, really strong. However, I'm not going to shit on the match because it was fine. It was a fine match. I knew they were going to go a decent length. Everyone's talking about, like, oh, he's going to hit him with a buckshot lariat and be done. Yeah. They're not doing that kind of thing here, man. Like, they're going to give Matt a chance to have the match Matt wants to have. And it was a fine match. The finish was great. They were fighting uphill because I never needed to see this as a prolonged pay-per-view match. You know, it was fine. They did a good job.
Any match that gives my man Jack Evans something to do, I'm all in. Even if it's running in with a Matt Hardy match, whatever, whatever.
Yeah. Brian D'Ambrose says, I care more about the aftermath of this match than anything. Yes, that is very true. Like, we will see how now Hangman spends all of Matt Hardy's money. Does Matt Hardy continue to spiral down?
And him and the Dark Order are going gambling or something. Yeah, right? They're going to be hanging out. Yeah, going to the strip club.
Those vignettes are going to be great. Hangman just blowing it all in like beer and stuff. Like
whiskey and strippers. I can't wait.
I mean, and
more pearl button shirts, like good shit like that, you know?
It's a good story they're telling with Hangman and Dark Order. I like it.
Yeah, Matt Hardy trying to take advantage of more people now because he's losing his earnings. So how does he try to go around that to make some money for his family? There are certainly some good ways you can go out of that. I just didn't need this match to be as long as it did. That's it.
How's he going to pay Jack Evans now that, you know, that Hangman's got his money.
Imagine what, the signature.
Where does this leave? Where does this leave Jack? You know, I mean, the real question is the real question.
Cass, are you getting money off of Jack? Like, you're very invested into Jack Evans here,
dude. You know. Come on, what are you talking about? That's my dude, man. I put over my friends. I always do that.
I know. I do. As a gimmick, as a bit here, you're invested
I plead the fifth. One, Jack two, Evans. Three, four, fifth. Sorry.
Knock the water over, run off.
Anyway.
Casino ladder match. I don't know if this is a casino ladder match, but Face of the Revolution ladder match is what this one was called. Sorry. Face of the Revolution ladder match. Scorpio Sky, Cody, Penta El-Zero, Lance Archer, Max Caster, and the debuting Ethan Page. Glad that Ethan Page was the debut. He deserves this spot. I think he's going to be very great in this spot. Joseph, he was not the Karate Man. We don't have to ban AEW forever. But I like Ethan Page here, and Scorpio Sky gets the victory. Cass, what did you think of the match?
Hey, I'm glad Sky's back. He had that torn meniscus that he was out for him. So it's good to see him back, and now that he's healed up and get a chance to, you know, do something, man. He's overdue. I love Ethan Page too, so I was happy with that. And shit, man, the match was fun. It was a fun match. I mean, there's a lot of Cody in it, right? I mean,
there was a fair amount of Cody.
There's a lot of Cody in that match.
And Cody's pyro. Real quickly, El Milkman and Cyclops is better than Wolverine. I know you guys sent super chats for this match. I apologize. I did not mark them down. I didn't realize we would the chat moved like that, and I would end up losing the super chats on that. I've done a better job of that. If you guys are still here, if anybody remembers those super chats, please post them in the chat so I can read them. But again, that's El Milkman and Cyclops better than Wolverine. Thank you guys for the super chats, and I want to make sure they get read on air. Joseph, go ahead.
These guys did too much to their own health for me to be like mean. I really didn't like this match. I have to be honest. The pacing of this thing, I thought, was a disaster. I really did. I struggled with it. It felt like a whole lot of, like, start-stop. 101 ideas without any idea about a time together. There was no connective tissue for me. I thought the Cody thing was, like, I don't know if he's – I'm hoping he's self-aware enough to know how it came across. You know, like, it didn't feel the way I think he wanted it to, but we'll see what his intention was. My only positive, really, I think the winner was correct. And again, I'm not going to be, you know, knock the match completely, because the guys worked really hard and they did some absurd stuff to each other. You know, like, it was, this did not, how long was this, Jeremy Lamb? Do you know?
I can look it up.
Okay, well, I'll talk here, but you could make a fool me when you say it's 8 minutes long, but I legitimately felt like I was watching this match for years. And at times it felt like no one was even trying to win the match. They were just sort of wandering around. And I don't know, man. Is this a me thing? Maybe it's a me thing. It could be a me thing. But I just thought it was a mess, unfortunately. Shame.
This was 23 minutes.
It felt longer, but that's fine. Maybe this was a thing. This is a me thing. Perhaps this was me. I just, it wasn't my deal, I must say.
Yeah, I, what was the point? Was it to was this the slow Cody heel turn? Was that kind of what we were doing here? And does Scorpio Sky get to carry around that big, like, golden what was that? It looked like kind of like a birth control, one of those things that I see advertised on Hulu all the time, like that they're walking. I don't know what.
El Milkman says, I think they said something. Good to see Sonic the Hedgehog is all elite and let Tony Khan.
Nice. Okay. Rings.
Yeah, I thought it was like a donut hole if we can get the ass hurt. That's what I thought the thing was for. It's a brass ring, Cass. Get it. Grab the brass ring.
Oh yeah, I know. But I hope he gets to carry that thing around all awkwardly. Like, look what, like, the Money in the Bank now. Like,
He gets a shot. He gets a shot on Wednesday. Yeah. I hope he comes out with it. It's on his shoulder and everything. He just has
or around his waist like a fucking hula hoop or something.
They got to make that thing a little bit bigger. Scorpio Sky's waist ain't that small. Come on now. Scorpio Sky took a hell of a bump off the knee by Lance Archer. And who took Max Caster took the blackout onto the ladder.
It was crazy. They did some absurd stuff. I just, as a match, I don't know. He lacked drama for me. I don't know.
I love Jake Roberts just out there like a little league dad at a baseball game, just out there, just like
Jake Roberts out here bumping.
He took the bump. Dude. He sat on the apron after just looking at the hard camera like, I don't know, man. Wrestling's past me by. What do you want me to do? I'm watching a ladder match here. There's six dudes. I will say, and I say so, he's very high on Ethan Page. And this is not a big deal because he'll easily bounce back. this was not really the match to me that you would go, oh, that's a real fit for Ethan to come in and rock him. You know, like the thing that people like about Ethan is he's kind of like a traditional television professional wrestler, right? He's not a guy who's like, oh, let me do some cool stuff off this ladder. He was good here, don't get me wrong, but I hope they have some, you know, a quick plan for him on Wednesday and moving forward, hopefully.
Nick Gio or Govedan says, I guess Ethan Page is Spanish for Christian Cage. That's apparently what the Spanish commentary said. They confused Ethan Page, yeah, and Christian Cage. So not great on that. Yeah. Brian D'Ambrose says, I'd like for Scorpio to win the belt here. Caster is kind of my MVP. Man really tried for that win. Bless him. I thought Caster looked good, and Scorpio, I have no issue with him being the winner. My issue is that he's been injured and this isn't his fault. And then he got put in this match and he won, and there's no real, like, hasn't been heated up at all. I would have liked to see him rack up some victory. He has a very nice record though. When they flashed his record, it's like, man, this guy's won a lot of matches. So you can just look at his record and be like, okay, he's got enough wins to justify this. Problem is he hasn't won like a match since like January because he's been injured, and that's through no fault of his own. It would have just been nice if he could have been healthy going into this match, got some wins to heat him up a little bit, and then get this victory. But the match on Wednesday, I'm looking forward to it between him and Darby. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It'll be good. The Wednesday match will be great. I, you know, again, all fairness here, these guys worked really, really hard. I think they could have shaved the time. It would have been a much more snappy product than this, which was more like prolonged. And I didn't think it was necessary. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Next up, the big debut, the huge signing. Joseph, why are you laughing? What are we doing?
Here's the deal with this, okay? I love the Christian Cage, and I do think he's a big deal. Am I alone in thinking this execution was kind of like...
It wasn't great. It wasn't. Like,
you weren't a fan of the TNA music? I fucking love that dude, shit. I love that shit. All of
the TNA music.
Too. I'm for that.
I'm so like, all in on that. I was like, this is fucking great. This is great.
But it's immediately, you know, the countdown deal. That is his music, isn't it?
The same countdown and the same music. It was just, it was perfect. It was all great.
It was him, the shot of him walking through the backstage area. That's what TNA did. Yes. They had the close up of his feet as he walked out there.
I'm torn because like, I do get the idea of, okay, let's not have Christian talk here and this do it on Wednesday as like the big segment. But like, I thought Show was going to bring someone out. Like, it was just like, here he is, Christian. He just waved. But I have no issues with Christian as the choice. I think he can offer so much. We've spoke about on this card how much like excess was in these matches. Dude, Christian is the king of like compact, coherent professional wrestling matches. He can help legitimately almost everyone on this roster in that regard. So yeah. I'm all for Christian. I'm happy for him. It's incredible to me that 15 years removed from first leaving, he finds himself in this weird position where his best friend and tag partner is main event in Mania, and he again kind of feels like, hey, what's going on here? Like, I'm sure he's motivated, right? I would assume he intended to do stuff with Edge. I'm not a scoop star, clearly, I don't know. It's amazing this kind of never-ending, like, they have to have a chip on this guy's shoulder. Can't they just leave him and give him his flowers? Here he is. I think he's going to be fired up, and I think he's going to do some great stuff. I really do. I'm happy about it.
I love it. Five weeks ago, he was one of the last, what, or how many, 2 months ago, he was the last five guys left.
I think it was the final four, right?
Yeah. He was one of the final four, the last five guys left, and now here he is in the AEW. It's great, man. He's played his cards right there, didn't he? Shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? He's got a shirt? I mean, that's cool, right?
Yeah, I'll work everybody. This is the shirt that I need.
It was when he walked back up. I feel terrible doing this because, again, I need to stress, I love the Christian Cage. But when he walked back up to the podium, it's like, okay, is he – oh, he's, that's his guy.
That was
like,
it. It was
just felt
I sell that shirt, man.
I can't pop stress
merch money.
And you guys will know this better than I. You're much more clued in, but it's like – of the modern wrestling minds, modern being like the last 20 years, say, how many are more revered and respected than Christian? You know, he's a special brain for wrestling. So yeah. I think as a hands-on coach, man, there's a lot of matches I think you can have for it. They're going to be great. I know for a fact, I remember vividly when he watched Omega and Okada years back on their podcast, he said like he had to turn the match off because he was thinking so much about what a match would look like with him and Omega. So that should get you fired up because that means he spent 4 years thinking about what this match is going to be. He's ready. He's a genius mind. So if he can teach these guys how to have like matches that aren't just everything, you know, held a promotion, especially TV matches. He's the king of those. So, yeah, good signing. Great signing.
Anakin JMT says, my own complaint about Christian is now when people refer to Cage, I won't know if they mean Christian or Brian.
Brian's done. Did you see what happened to Brian?
it's the same thing with Paige. People refer to Paige. You're talking about Hangman or Ethan now. So it's got two Cages, two Pages.
Oh, yeah. No. They got to fight for the rights for the name, like we watched last week, the rights for the T.
Time to rage in the cage for the battle of the, I don't
cage
know.
Cage in the page.
Yeah, all that shit.
Music of Moonsault says, I know I'm in the minority, but I didn't think it was that good of a show. Every match had outside interference. Happy for Christian, but how does Vince let that happen? And Benny Boy says, AEW seems to like stables, so ideas for the new Christian coalition in AEW. Guessing Tomko and Styles are busy. Joseph, you mentioned on
one Tomko's of our shows, not busy, is he?
I don't know. <Tomko's> busy.
You fucking kidding me? Tomko hasn't been busy in 8 years, dude.
And Carlos Easy says, I love Christian being the surprise. Wish they would have had him cut a short promo, though. Still rules. Joseph, you mentioned on one of the 100 shows that we do that Christian is the fourth guy for FTR and Sean Spears. I still like that. I love that possibility. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I do love that possibility.
I mean, they're going to have a better read on it than I. They, you know, they may think there's real legs in first doing the kind of like, not nostalgia, that'd be disrespectful, but the babyface you remember run, that kind of deal. And Christian is a fabulous babyface worker, so I have no problem with that if you want to do that first. But him doing stuff with FTR in the end, I think those guys would agree that'd be pretty cool, right? I think they. I'm pretty sure they'd be in for it.
They wouldn't complain, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I think I can speak for my friends and say,
Sean Spears strikes me as a guy that Christian would respect and enjoy it too. So, like, I think it's a fit, but we'll see what they do. The big thing with Christian is, and this is, again, this might sound like I'm being insulting, but I promise I'm not. He doesn't feel too big to wrestle semi-regularly. Does that make sense? There's a certain caliber of guy, especially age-wise, that you'll get, and it's like, they're going to wrestle four matches a year, dude. They're doing the pay-per-views. They can't, you know, like, this. Imagine Kurt was out there tonight. If he was wrestling, it would be three matches a year. He can't do anymore. Christian feels like he could be a guy that wrestles, I don't want to put a number, once a month. He does Dynamite main events, like, he feels like he can be a part of the roster. So that's perhaps the most exciting thing about him. I do agree with what Chris said, though. Music Moonsault was like, it feels like a miss for WWE purely in the sense that Edge and Christian as a tag run was kind of a special for. Like, I'm not even a big Edge guy, but the idea of them working Usos on New Day, man, I can see why AEW's jazzed about getting him because that does feel like they've stolen one there. You know, it really does, but we'll see.
I mean, he was in the Royal Rumble, like we just talked about, Final Four, just less than two months ago, like 5 weeks ago or something. Like, it is crazy that now he's in AEW. I don't know how Vince missed on this one. It seemed like it was easy. All right, we'll sign him. He'll stay here. It seemed like it was the same thing as like Edge, because Edge had the offer from AEW when he was talking about coming back. And Vince was like, no. If you're gonna come back, we're gonna make it happen here.
There's the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they just don't see Christian on that level, and
they've kind of always been that way, man. That way. So, I mean, are you shocked now that, like, they're treating the same way as an old man as they did? Not even, he's not that old, but as they did when he was younger. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the same shit. Like, they didn't.
Yes. How great was Shivani? Shivani came out with one of the great world champions ever, and I sat there and went, Shivani has seen approximately two Christian matches his whole life. And there's no way. He's missed his whole run. His whole run fell in Tony's, like, hiatus. Bless Tony's heart. That's what he mustered up. That's what he went with. Hey, that ECW run was fire, to be fair. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was talking about his NWA World Heavyweight title.
It's a fair comment. It's just when you see Christian, he's your first for one of the great world champions ever. Like, it's not really, is it? But he was world champ, great professional wrestler. So there you go.
I'm excited for Christian. I look forward to that first promo. Do you think he just does his TNA promo word for word?
Why, it might as well. See if anybody notices. Maybe.
I really hope he does. The cinematic match between Ricky Starks, Brian Cage of Team Taz against Darby Allin and Sting. Samus Dune says, can somebody put Titanic music on the finish? Enjoyed the show, though. Sting cinematic match. Sting cinematic match was epic, but probably didn't need commentary. Good use of Sting here in the cinematic match. You knew it had Darby Allin's fingerprints written all over it, and it certainly did. Sting gets the victory. He can still go. Cass, what'd you think?
I enjoyed the shit out of this match. And, I'm cinematic matches are hit and miss for me, but I like this. And I had some notes I noticed. I was like, I think Diamond Dallas Page's guys filmed this. His production crew did that match because it looked like that was like the Atlanta skyline when Darby was riding in with Sting, like some of the buildings. So I was like, I think that's in Atlanta. But that's just something I noticed. I was like, hey, I would hope somebody finds out about that one. But the match was good. I liked it, man. I thought it was really good. Why was Tony so wanting somebody to get thrown out that fucking window? Like, he's going
to
get thrown out.
Somebody to get thrown out the window.
Tony's won death. Tony's over here hoping people die. Tony's
winning death.
I'm all in. I like death.
If somebody had gotten thrown out the window and died, we wouldn't be talking about the lack of explosion at the end of the show.
Please. Let's kill one of them. Let's go back.
Yeah. We would have actually killed somebody. Look. The spot where Cage and Hobbs swung Darby.
Yes. Here's the thing, okay? I really like this. I thought it was pretty cool. Really liked this too, but I liked it. It was cool. If you didn't laugh when after all of the whole intros, they just ended up being in a wrestling ring. I couldn't believe it was a street fight. And like, Starks and Hobbs have like bulletproof vests on? Did I imagine that?
Hobbs had a bulletproof. Hobbs borrowed, Moxley's old shield. Came out there with that. Yeah, that's what I gathered.
Sting was going to shoot them. That's what happened. I mean, they turned up for a street fight, but there was a ring there. The best part of this match, other than Darby, the what you just mentioned, Jeremy, is Sting and Darby bringing like a squad of Sting men and Cage just killing them in like 2 minutes. Yeah. Just launching them. It was fun. I mean, the problem with these is like, how often can you go to this well, right? Like, it's difficult to top this every single time. It will never not pop me though, the memory of like, the smash cuts from Chaos on one end of the building and they go back and Starks and Sting are doing like a sequence from a Clash of Champions match. It was just funny. I'm sorry it was. But it was cool. And, you know, they had some really nice visual touches that you said. It had Darby all over it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was neat, man. It was a cool presentation. It just will always be funny to me that it ended up just being Sting, like just having a match in the middle of, in the middle of a warehouse ring. Sting
was proven that he could still go in an actual match as well.
They did it better than the NXT one where there was just like everybody parked in a circle and shined their lights into a ring that was outside of a building, which was – at least that was inside of a warehouse that was narrow instead of just
outside. It was good.
It was good.
It looked was good. It was just – the idea of it was funny to me.
I agree. I was like, oh, that's – okay, that's what we're doing. All right. I was wondering the whole time. I like how they're like, oh, and the ring looks old. It was just – it was a brand new ring with like a really – canvas with some like stitches in it, like they had like pieced the canvas together to make it look old, and it didn't even look old at all. Like, I'm sure if they wanted to, they could have found an old ass ring somewhere in Atlanta. There's a shitty indie that could have let them borrow a fucking ring.
But they weren't letting Sting on that ring though, but that was
never. We had to buy a new one from High Spots just for that, I'm sure.
Carlos Easy says there was a second smaller roof outside the window.
I like the guy that's like Tony Schiavone demands a sacrifice. He's in on it. He knows what's up.
Darby did his big leap out of the roof onto that platform.
That was incredible.
Yeah. Darby's a crazy person.
It was a cool match. Like, I'd imagine, and Jeremy knows this, but anyone, like, this isn't really my thing, right? But like, I can appreciate what it is, and I'm sure for the person that loves this genre, so to speak, this was pretty damn cool. I mean, it wasn't no Boneyard. Right, guys? There was no Boneyard.
There was no
fire. Yeah. Nobody summoned fire. I mean, that's – you can't stop that. Undertaker summoned fire like 3 times. He killed the Good Brothers. Like, they showed up and they ended up in they ended up in another company after that match. He fucking killed them and they popped up in Impact. So, I mean,
in fairness, though, there was magic on display because when Sting caught that baseball bat, that was like his charger, you know? It was like he plugged in.
How about that toss to the upper level, too? He was like, phew. And that's
got an armor, right, brother.
Holy shit, man. He threw that bat like it was a fucking twig. That was impressive.
It was a cool match. If you bought this thing for that match and didn't understand the circumstance and the kind of limitations, you know, like we knew what we were getting, right?
Here's what we talked about on Thursday, Joseph, is like, did it sell you on Sting doing more stuff moving forward? Like, what is Sting going to do now moving forward? Can he do an actual wrestling match, or do you kind of have to continue to protect him in things like this? What do you think, Cass?
I want to see where this Sting Darby Allin, he's his dad, right? That's what we're going with this, right? That's his long lost son. From a Hooters wage experience in 1993 gone wrong. I don't know. I don't know. I like it. Sting. I mean, like you said, what can you do with Sting? I'd like to see more from him. I mean, shit, he didn't look bad. I mean, they definitely did a good job shooting that to where, like, they didn't show any weakness at all in, like, his ability. So, I mean, until I see something, I'm like, yeah, he does need to be out there. I grew up on Sting. I got 10 Sting figures behind me. I don't know what else I can say about it. So you can give me Sting all day long, man.
It just would require some creativity, wouldn't it? That's just really what it'll be. Just getting the matches that make sense. I mean, this one had a 3-month build. You're going to need to come up with fresh scenarios for Sting to fight men in empty warehouses in rings at the end of the day. So if you can do that, and I assume it ends with Sting just dying in one of these, right? That's all that can happen. When he's contrary, he just dies. One of the sudden kills.
He takes a buckle bomb, and that's – he just
come on now. Hey now.
How long until Cody books himself into a Sting program, though? I'm wondering about that. Like
about 3 days?
Yeah. It almost happened right away, and he's like, well, no, I got to do the Shaq thing. I'll give Cody to Sting, or I'll give Sting to Darby instead. I got Shaq on deck.
Disintegrates. That's the word I was looking for when Sting takes the buckle bomb. He just
That would be sad. Sting just vanishes.
Like the Thanos snap on him.
Imagine Darby making this film. TK's joy. I've never seen anything like this kid. This kid with cameras, he's incredible. There he is, Sting.
Folks,
you wanted to come down from the rafters? Well,
I don't know. I thought you had some more elaborate plan.
Well, it's like that one Nitro, which is like, that one Nitro when they were like, I couldn't believe they did. I watched that the other day. I was like, shit, that's cringy considering.
We talked about the main event. There's one more super chat. Flame Ing says, Jeremy, as a follower of Wrestle Talk, we don't condone what Denise did. Hope you're well, regardless of what happened. Fire Denise. Justice for Jeremy. Denise doesn't need to be fired. Denise and I are fine. We're still very good friends. Overall thoughts on this show, Joseph?
It was good. I didn't think it was a great show. I thought we started promising. I thought the two kind of flat matches in the middle really hurt the momentum. I thought the main event was great, a remarkable kind of little piece of history that unfortunately is miles overshadowed in history by an all-time gaffe. And that's, you know, I can't stress this enough. No one is more invested in that story than I. Jeremy can attest. I promise you, I would like to pretend this did not just happen. I swear, I'm going to think about it for the next few days, weeks, years. I don't know, okay? Through no fault of anyone's, but I guess the budget, man, I don't know. They had a great finish between two of the great performers, and unfortunately, it looked like shit. And I can't pretend otherwise. It ends as a show that will have people analysing AEW's faults. I think that's fair. I think it's time, and I thought this at, you know, All Out, maybe what, 6 months ago now. I think there's real signs that they need to really focus in on these cards better. I really believe that. This had a lot of hype today, but I've said a few weeks ago, Jeremy, and you remember, this card for me always had flaws, and those two matches in the middle concern me. I don't think the ladder match was necessary. I'd have much preferred a feud that had been built to that point. I don't think we need to do battle royals on every show. I say all of this to say that I genuinely enjoy the AEW product consistently. I think they have the best weekly show by distance, but I'm not going to pretend that this didn't show us of some flaws they have. You know, and I hope they're open-minded enough to see those and adjust. Doing matches, multi-man matches to get everyone on the show isn't the answer. It just isn't. You know, like FTR wasn't on this show. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. Try and make these things the conclusion of your arcs from top to bottom, not just at the top of the card. Do it throughout. I think you'll be a lot better for it. Granted, someone could say that that's the case with the two matches you wasn't into. And that's fair. Like, I can't argue that. But I looked at the card and thought, it's good. It has some holes, and those holes were here. So a good show that unfortunately I'm going to literally, like, it's going to terrorize me. Until Eddie gets a mic and solves it for me and I can go back to enjoying myself, it's the end. Jeremy, I'm cancelling Tuesday's show. We're not doing that anymore. I'm done. I will not talk about wrestling until Wednesday night. Out. No, I'm kidding. But it was a good show. I had fun. You know, I had fun.
Cass, overall thoughts?
I'm gonna compare this show to one of my favorite movies of all time, Terminator 2. And here's why. So I loved every minute of the pay-per-view, right? And I love Terminator 2, every minute of it, until like the weird ending where you just kind of, they just drive into a spark factory and have their final show down there. And that's kind of what happened here. We got this build up and then it's just a spark factory and then Eddie dies. So it's just kind of like, it's the same thing. Eddie died by sparks. Terminator died in a spark factory. It's the same shit. Whatever.
I feel like this wasn't as good as T2, Cass.
No, I'm just trying to make myself feel
better. I appreciate it.
I'm gonna watch Terminator 2 now when I get done with this. But I enjoy, right up until like the fucking countdown and then that really just bad execution of the exploding at the end. Everything was great. I had no complaints until the end. Yeah. And like we talked about earlier, that's what you walk away with. That's the last taste in your mouth is just that. But it was a show. It's fun. At least we got something to talk about. We're always going to be able to talk about that finish forever.
I promise everyone now, anyone that's watching this, watches our show, I will never, ever speak of that again. I promise you. You will never even hear me mention this pay-per-view out of fear of that memory coming back to my brain.
Joseph, do you know the bit I'm going to have planned on Thursday?
No, you're not doing it.
Dude, I'm really glad I didn't go. I was going to drive down there for this weekend, and I did this instead. So I'm really glad I'm with you guys instead of being like, shit, I drove 7 hours to watch. I literally could have just gone to the gas station here and bought the same pyro and done that match like right here with in my house at the end. But no, I mean, fuck, they tried, right? What else do we say about it?
They did.
We just need Mox and Eddie, two microphones, and just
they just need to build it. They just need to build a better one. Do it again. Do it at Double or Nothing. Double down. Make it six sides of hell. Double.
How do we
barbed wire? I don't fucking.
This is a serious question now, and I cannot believe I'm asking this about the great sport of professional wrestling, but I'm asking it. How do we react if Dynamite starts with a video package that is like post-produced and there's this big explosion?
They'll fix it in post. Yeah, they fix it in post. And
what do we do with that at this point? Do we just call that the art? Is that what we do? Do we go, that's the art professional
wrestling? I'd be like, yeah, sure.
And they're like, Eddie Kingston is dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. No more Eddie Kingston.
They have a funeral. They have a funeral for him on Wednesday.
I enjoyed the show overall for the most part. The Sunday over 3 hours, nearly 4 hours type thing, it hurts. But AEW usually gives me enough of an adrenaline boost to where I'm okay with it. This one gave me an adrenaline boost for the wrong reason at the very end. Oh, yeah. by making me laugh instead of being like, that was so great. Can't wait to see the follow-up. Now I can't wait to see the follow-up for the wrong reasons. But they delivered some good stuff. I am excited about Christian. I'm sure people were, oh, Christian, what did he ever do? What does he ever mean? This was their big tease and stuff. You know, there was a lot of smoke around them by the end of the week that I think it kind of lost a little bit of what it could have meant. But I still think Christian's going to be very good.
The same people that are shit-talking Christian now were pretty much blowing him on the internet when he showed up at the Rumble and we're all excited about it. You know, I mean, I don't understand. Yeah. I don't get it. Like, they were all in when he was in WWE, in January, and he was back. They're like, oh, he's back. Finally, he's back. Oh, I love it. And then now that he pops up in AEW, like, oh, great, another washed-up WWE guy. It's like, dude, you were – whatever. Twitter's a fickle place, right? It's a weird place.
Anakin says, I sleep 4 hours a day. I'll be okay. Yeah, but I shouldn't be sleeping more. This is the issue, right? Cass, where can the people find you at?
You can find me pretty much – everywhere at, like it says there, at Casshole with 3 O's. That's my handle on pretty much all social media. And at bodyslam.net, you can find us there too. Our Twitter for Bodyslam is bodyslamnet. Just so that's how you find me, man. We're doing stuff there. I got the Push podcast. We're at bodyslam_pod. So check me out, man. I'm all over the place. And hopefully I'll be hanging out with you guys again soon, man. I love this shit. So
Cass is going to be on pretty much every watch along that we do.
Do it. I'd love to.
Moving forward.
I'd love it. Let's go. Count me in.
You're asking me where they can find me. Is that what you're doing?
I mean, whatever you
want.
I don't want
him to. I don't want him to find me. Leave me alone, man.
After this shit tonight, he's done, man. Don't.
I'm done. No. Tomorrow, I'm going to post a notes section, like screenshot of my retirement. I'm done.
Do you need to? Do I need to draft this for you? Like I retired.
You know what? Jeremy, I'm continuing this show. This is how great Jeremy and I as a duo. Okay, tonight Jeremy and I had a conversation throughout this pay per view in which we were trying to figure out who was logging the other out. What? You guys think we're good at the technical difficulties, okay? We were legitimately texting each other. I've just been kicked off Fight TV. Is that you? No. Is this mystery man? We know it could have been Cass for a week. We do
know. Yeah, me this time. I paid for that shit on Bleacher Report, so I don't know.
We do not know. But to sum up my night, okay, it is 6 in the morning. It is pitch black outside, okay? It's 6 in the morning, okay? Look at my eyes. Does it look like... No, it doesn't look like it, right? Because this is pain. You see pain in this. I got logged off my podcast partner or a mystery man who somehow has a password for this account that I only got 6 hours ago. Okay. My favorite professional wrestler isn't even on the show, Ed Kingston. He comes out at the end. My friend, the machine gun, Carl Anderson, avoided death at the end of the show. I said, Carl's not dead. King's going to die. Oh, well, at least it's poetic and Shakespeare like. Wonderful. I love Eddie Kingston. He's going to die. Sad, but fun. Then, since this shit happens, Eddie just dies. He doesn't know what's happening. No one comes out and says, Eddie, stop selling this. You're not dead. You're alive. You're fine. And I look at the time. I say, oh, it's 4:30 in the morning. What am I going to do now? Talk about the thing that just put me in actual agony at this time. Good night, everyone. Follow me on Twitter. That's what you should do.
And again, where to find you. You can follow Joseph on Twitter, at Joe Holbert. Guys, we will be back on Tuesday on the Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Joseph and I will be there simulating some matches. Maybe we'll simulate a barbed wire exploding death match.
Dude, fix it in post. Just blow that shit up.
We'll be simulating some matches Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. The distraction here on youtube.com/Fightful. Go to Fightful Select. Subscribe, sign up, do all that fun stuff. Sean's breaking news all the time over there. Go to youtube.com/Fightful, which is right here. Subscribe, tap the bell for notifications, leave us a thumbs up. Go to Fightful.com. Joseph and I did a WrestleMania fantasy draft for Music and Moonsaults. That should be up sometime this week. You can follow me on Twitter at JeremyLambert88. I'll have the link to that. Otherwise, I think that is it. Check out the post media scrums. I think Tony Khan is up there explaining all the things that went wrong and some other
bet he's still talking, dude. I've done those with him. It's like, oh my god, I love it. You've been there too. They're like, we're gonna have 15 minutes, and Tony's like, yeah, we'll go forever. Yeah,
Tony's like, don't worry about it. I want to make sure everybody.
Mandy's over on the side. She's like, oh my god, again. And it's an hour and a half later. They're like, we're really gonna wrap it up now. Last call, last question. So I can't wait.
Guys, we'll be back. Joseph and I will be back on the Twitch on Tuesday, back here on Thursday. Talk to y'all then.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.